The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, welcome to Tuesday on the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin.
Yes, sir.
We want to talk about a little bit what happened this weekend.
Yes.
Well, actually, there are three things we've got to mention before we go to our first guest, Tim Clinton. Dr. Tim Clinton's talking about the idea of manhood. And in hour two, we're talking about environmentalism.
Yes.
There's a book called Green Fraud. That's in hour two. But I got to tell you, first of all, two things this weekend. Number one, there was an article in American Greatness.
Oh, yeah.
Called Woke Church Woes.
Ooh, I read that.
A review of Fault Lines, which is the book by Vodi Baucom. And I read the review, and it was an amazing review because Fault Lines by Vodi Baucom is an amazing book. We've had him on this program. He talks about critical race theory and why it's not really that good. When I read the review, I thought, this is amazing. Who wrote it? And you know who wrote it? This is actually very surprising, folks. Albin Sadar,
yes.
Who I'm guessing is you. Was that you?
That was me. Yes, it was me.
Albin, you come across... Yeah. Like a goofy, fun-loving guy. And then you reveal this other side of yourself.
It's like a Jekyll and Hyde
thing. It is a Jekyll and Hyde thing.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote this fantastic review. I mean, it's not just a review, because a really good review ends up being its own essay. But it's called Woke Church Woes, and it says, from start to finish, Fault Lines by Vodi Baucom not only raises the alarm of a fast-approaching cultural catastrophe, but makes a plea to the prodigal church to return to its biblical roots. Now, you and I both have had experiences with the woke church and what is happening. There's a weird divide in America going on right now where good people, I would argue, have gotten confused and don't seem to understand the danger of ultimately cultural Marxism. They don't realize that what's happening, that wokeness is basically cultural Marxism. And so anyway, I want to thank you personally for writing this on your own time.
On my own time.
Right. We weren't paying you to write this. You wrote this on your own time.
I did.
And it's at American Greatness. And I posted it on my Twitter and my Facebook and wherever else I can post it, hoping people will read it. But it's called Woke Church Woes by Albin Sadar.
Yeah. By the way, my favorite phrase I came up with there is I'm talking about the left and how they've come up with a vacuous vision.
Yeah.
I love that VV, vacuous vision. Yeah.
Which is basically like weasel words.
Yeah.
You know, those are like a weasel. They were believed, weasels in the old days were believed to sneak into chicken coops and to suck out the insides of eggs. So you'd pick up the egg and you'd be like, hey, it looks just like an egg, but there's nothing inside it. It's empty.
Yeah.
But it looks like an egg. Weasel words.
Yeah. Chris Himes can talk to us about chickens. But you know what? I almost ended with a different paragraph than I did in that article. I almost said something like this. The fact that the church has kind of usurped and said like, oh, we're no longer in charge. We don't affect the culture here. We stand back. I said, it's almost like that phrase when I was growing up, people probably still use it. It's like, who died and made you boss?
Right.
And a lot of these people have stepped in and said, I'm the boss now. There's no God. I'm the boss. If I say this is truth, then this is truth. And we should be saying to them, who died and made you
who
boss?
Who made you boss, punk?
Yeah. Hey, punk.
All right. So
that's all I want to say.
I hope folks will go to American Greatness. By the way, American Greatness, I had the privilege to be in a panel with Charlie Kirk at Turning Point USA with the head of American Greatness and his last name was very confusing to me. His name is Chris Buzzkirk. So I was on a panel with Charlie Kirk, Chris Buzzkirk, and Eric Metaxas. but he's the head of American Greatness, and there are very few places that will publish stuff like this.
That's
so go to American Greatness.
Right.
They publish John Zmirak as well. Of course, most of his stuff is at the stream. But Albin, congratulations! It was terrific.
Well,
I got more stuff for you though. Look,
oh, okay.
I was in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
You were.
Which,
I gotta tell you. Thank you for bringing me back a pilgrim. I just love them.
You know what? It's the least I could do.
Yeah.
No, but look. Somebody gave me a book for you
really?
And a note for you for Albin Sadar.
Wow.
So I don't open it now because who knows what's in there. It could be some white powder. But here's a book.
Hope it's sugar.
About the Forefathers Monument. It's the guidebook to the Forefathers
yes.
Monument, right? Now, this is brand new. I got a copy. I haven't even looked at it. But here's the bottom line. I visited the Forefathers Monument. Now, our friend, our buddy Kirk Cameron yeah. made a film called Monuments and or Monumental. And this, I believe, is the ultimate monument in that film. And when you get there, it is overwhelming. I always talk about how, I think I said it yesterday, when you go to see the David, Michelangelo's David in Florence, it's breathtaking because it's 17 and a half feet tall. It's huge. This is 83 feet tall. Tall.
Yeah.
When you see it, it takes your breath away. And the guy who did the tour of it, I hope I mentioned it yesterday already, but it is just an amazing tour because you start realizing that we have forgotten what was once baked into the culture. I mean, our understanding of how liberty is tied into the Bible. There's no way around it. It's an amazing concept that when the pilgrims arrived here, they were separatists from the Church of England, from bad King James, who he was not that good. And basically, they wanted to create their own little society,
yeah.
and it was self-government. And we forget that all of these ideas have made their way down to us, that without these folks and without a host of others who kind of picked up on these ideas, we would not have American-style self-government and the kind of liberty
and
that we have.
The most amazing thing is when they arrived, that statue was already here, and it was made by Michelangelo.
That's a joke.
No,
okay,
not.
But seriously, if it were funny, I wouldn't mind it. So here's the problem.
It's
the problem
funny.
Is this monument is virtually unknown, and it is, I promise you folks, it is breathtaking.
Mm.
But you have to get the right tour guide, and his name is Leo. Now, of course, I'm forgetting his last name. But the point is that I've posted this. This is a good time for me to tell people, sign up to ericmetaxas.com. When I was in Plymouth, I preached at a church there. It was amazing, really, to meet so many people. By the way, whenever I speak in a church someplace in the country, friends show up that didn't tell me they're going to show up. So I'm sitting there,
yeah.
or I'm standing there giving a speech, and suddenly I look over, boom, there's my buddy Chris Coughlin sitting there and freaking me out. It's like, Chris, what? But I can't talk to you now because I'm giving a speech. And then my friend David Lane, Jim Lane's brother, was there.
Some of these people are mentioned in your book,
another
right?
friend, yeah, and another friend of mine, Linda Houlihan, who used to go to Redeemer.
Yeah.
Linda was there. So it's so much fun to travel and stuff, but I want to go back to Plymouth. Now, before we get to our guest,
mm-hmm.
By the way, this is your book, Albin. Here, take it. It's all yours.
I really, seriously.
Yeah,
I
no,
love
it is.
I love
but
it.
Before we get to that, we should remind folks, in hour two, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but we're launching another campaign with
yes.
Food for the Poor. Folks, this is what we do. We partner with people we trust. They feed starving children in the third world. They need our help. They need our help. Okay, the reason they come to this program is because they're depending on the fact that you all will understand this and understand that we need to give back. We've been blessed to be a blessing. So many of us have been blessed in so many ways. So it's a vital thing for us to give back. So we want to encourage you to go to our website. It's the Metaxas Talk website, metaxastalk.com. Please go there. You'll see all the details. This is day two of the campaign.
Yeah.
Yesterday was day one. You know how much we raised yesterday?
Goose egg.
We raised nothing.
I can't believe that.
Now, that's got to be a typo.
It's
because we talked about
yeah.
this, and our listeners are so generous.
They are. Yeah.
Something
Seriously.
Went wrong.
Something
went wrong. Anyway, we $37.
Yeah.
Think of this. Think
yeah.
of this. This is how far your money goes with Food for the Poor. It's why we partner with them. $37 feeds a kid for 6 months. I'm telling you, folks, if you know that we need to give back, we need to bless those who are in need, you want to find somebody who does a great job. Food for the Poor, it's why we partner with them. All kinds of Salem Radio Hosts, partner with them. They're the best. I'll give you a phone number in case you feel like calling right now. $111 feeds three kids for 6 months. Please, folks, help us out. Please. So go to MetaxasTalk.com today or call 844-863-HOPE. That's 844-863-HOPE. Let me say it again. 844-863-HOPE. Why I'm feeling so high must be the season. When that love light
shines all around us. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey there, folks. Manhood. There's a book in front of me right here. It's called Take It Back, Reclaiming Biblical Manhood for the Sake of Marriage, Family, and Culture. As you know, manhood is kind of a big issue for me. Why? Because I'm so manly? No. That's a good guess, though. But that's not it. In the introduction to my book, Seven Men, I lay out in an essay why manhood has been under attack and why it's so important to God. And it's just one of those things that most of you are paying any attention to the culture, understand it's a huge issue. So I'm particularly thrilled to have my friend, Dr. Tim Clinton, on the program. The book is called Take It Back. Tim Clinton, welcome to this program.
Eric, delight to be with you, man. I love the way you keep things stirred up, my friend.
I try to stir things up. I'm just that kind of a guy, a manly stirrer upper. Hey, seriously, though, whenever I have somebody who's a friend on the program, I forget to say who they are professionally, so I want my audience to know you're not just my friend who wrote a book called Take It Back. You're the president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. You are the co-host of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Whoa! You're at Liberty University. You're in Lynchburg, Virginia. And by the way, the foreword of this book is somebody that I really value, Daryl Strawberry. So tell us, Tim, Dr. Tim Clinton, Take It Back, Reclaiming Biblical Manhood. What's it about?
Eric, you know there's been such a beatdown on men in culture. I mean, basically men are seen as buffoons, idiots, disengaged fathers, horrible husbands, porn addicts, you name it.
I got to tell you, that is something that I've noticed for a long time. So let's talk about why is that? Why is that? Spiritually, I mean, I think I have an answer, but do you have an answer? Because we all see it. We've seen it most of our lives. What is that?
You know, Eric, I think if you can take men out of the equation, you can run a pretty unique agenda. Men, I see men as protectors, as providers, as the walls. Men are supposed to bring boundaries to life. Eric, they're supposed to step up and into the moment. And God made it that way. But if you can take men out, boy, you can pretty much do anything you want. That's what I think is going on.
No, I totally agree. I mean, it's interesting because we believe these things are spiritual battles. They manifest in the culture, but it's a spiritual battle. The enemy is always, you know, he's trying to kill God's chosen. He's trying to upend the system. What is that? I can't remember where it is. It's one of the prophetic books in the Old Testament, but the idea that, you know, children and women will lead. In other words, the idea is that men are supposed to lead, but things are going to be so upside down. In our culture since the 60s, there's been an attack on men. And my attitude is the reason you attack men is because you want to harm the women and children. Men are the protectors. And we even have this bizarre idea that, you know, women need to be empowered so that they don't need a man. And even that's preposterous. Like, it's so ridiculous. It's like saying defund the police. Like, I can take care of myself. I mean, well, that's a nice idea if you can take care of yourself. But it's also nice to have backup, to have people who have your back. And traditionally, men have been that, whether in the military or in a militia or just in their homes. So when you attack men, you're really attacking those they would protect. I mean, I just want to be clear on that, because that's the, if you care about women and children, you need to care about men.
You know, what's interesting too, Eric, is in the Bible, you read verses like, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a man whose heart is toward him. God wants men to step up and into the moment. You know that. And if there's ever a time, man, do we need that right now, especially at home. You know, when you look at the research that's out there, you could go up on sites like the National Center for Fathering. You'll see this. What, over 90% of Americans believe that a dad, that men make a unique contribution in the life of his children, in the life of his son or daughter, that he has that kind of influence.
90%.
Yeah, and Eric, look at this. 72% believe this, that the greatest social ill of our day is the absence of dad or godly fathers, is what I'll say, from the home. And when you look at outcome-based research, you'll know this, that when dads are present and emotionally engaged in the life of his children, okay, you're seeing outcomes like they're less resistant to peer pressure. They do better in terms of dealing with substance abuse. They do better on mental health indexes. They actually score better on cognitive ability tests and more. Eric, it's just, it's there. What's the number one common denominator on death row? No dad.
I mean, I gotta tell you, this is so interesting, because you quote statistics, you say this is what people believe. So most people get it, but forget about what people believe. You're telling me the facts bear it out. In other words, whether people believe it or don't, thank God they do. Thank God that people have the common sense that they don't have, that the, you know, the people writing for the New York Times do not have. But then you're actually citing statistics, and I've seen some of this recently. It's nothing less than astonishing. If you want to know what is behind most of the social ills, the criminality, everything, it is lack of fathers. I mean, even if you hated the Bible and you hated men, you would still say, well, if I care about crime, this is a way to solve that. It's kind of, isn't it kind of amazing that you have to write a book called Take It Back, Reclaiming Biblical Manhood for the Sake of Marriage, Family, and Culture, that we have to argue for what's absolutely inevitably going to help people, whether they like this or not?
Yeah, Eric, you know, I got a text message from a friend of mine, psychologist over in the Virginia Beach area. He said, you know, if dads were at home, a lot of those issues that we wrestle with in culture would be gone. And he's right. You're right. When dad isn't home, Eric, you're seeing kids struggle with their masculinity, their femininity. The girls struggle with it. You're seeing kids who aren't doing well at school. You're seeing kids more susceptible to peer pressure. You're seeing them wrestle with substance abuse. You're seeing them wrestle with mental health issues and more, living and growing up in poverty. You just name it. It's just it's a list that goes on. It's endless. You would figure that if masculinity is so bad, that if dads weren't at home, that the statistics would be the opposite. They're not. It's clear. It's time we get our head out of the sand and admit this. And by the way, challenge people to come back home. What did Mother Teresa say? Hey, if you want to change the world, I think she had this right. Go home and love your family. Let's get back to the family.
I wonder if there are any men listening to this, driving a truck or something right now, that God is speaking to on this. I just want to say, folks, my dad sacrificed a lot. I know, because I was there. I was there. His marriage wasn't fun. Neither was my mother's marriage fun. Sometimes it's tough. But they did it because they knew it was the right thing. And I just want to tell you, anything that I ever do in my life is a result of my father's sacrifice. Think of the sacrifices that you make that are paying dividends into the future. You have no idea who you will bless if you make that sacrifice, and by the way, you make it with God. You're not on your own. God is with you, and He wants you to make that sacrifice. But I tell you, when you talk about this, Tim, it just moves me because I'm thinking of people. I'm also thinking of the people that if you don't make that sacrifice, if you say I've had enough, it's really going to hurt people more than just your kids. Your kids are going to hurt other people because of what they're looking for and stuff. This is so central. I imagine you've had your eyes on this issue for a long time in your career.
You know, Eric, my dad was the kindest man I've ever known. He was a World War II vet. What would they call the greatest generation ever? That's what Brokaw called them. Now think about my dad coming back from World War II. He was said he was scared to death over there, but he went over and fought. You know, he was on the USS Pennsylvania in the South Pacific. He said he kissed the ground when he got back stateside and told God he'd serve him for the rest of his life, Eric. Went back, found my mother, who he broke up with before he went to the war. She had a ring on her hand, and she took it off when she saw him. And but, hey, my dad making a move to say, you know what, for the rest of my life, I'm going to try to be the best man I can be. God, I'm going to serve you with all heart. You know what? He was a great dad. Anybody can be a father. It takes somebody special to be a dad. When men step up and into the moment, it matters. Eric, I'm going to the movie Saving Private Ryan. I'm going to that last scene when he's walking out through the cemetery, and he looks over at his wife and he says, tell me that I was a good man. I know this, in psychology and counseling, we call it ego integrity versus despair, that last stage of life where you're really trying to ask and answer questions. And when men look back over their life, I believe this, and I'm seeing a stirring among men like I've never seen before. They want to figure this thing out, Eric. And I wanted to put together a book that encouraged them, that said, listen, doesn't even matter how bad you've blown it. You can step up and into the moment. You can take it back. There's an opportunity for you. And it's never, ever too late. There's damage, yeah. There may be toxic behavior, yes. There may be things we need to correct. But, man, you can make a shift.
When we come back, I want to talk about that because there's a lot of people listening now. This is so central in our lives. Folks, we'll be right back. The book is Take It Back.
Ain't it wonderful to be where I've always wanted to be?
Dr. Tim Clinton, he's the president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. He's also the co-host with Dr. James Dobson of Family Talk. The new book is called Take It Back, Reclaiming Biblical Manhood for the Sake of Marriage, Family, and Culture. So, Tim, we hear a lot in this day and age. We hear a lot about a lot of dumb stuff. But at the top of the list for me is this issue of toxic masculinity. It's kind of like talking about violent masculinity or whatever. You're like, yeah, when masculinity goes bad, that's bad. We get it. But the idea that masculinity is somehow inherently dangerous or whatever, you think, well, you know, that's like saying every cop with a gun is a potential murderer, so let's take the guns away from them. Their whole job is to protect the innocent. And when they don't do that, if they do the wrong thing, we prosecute them. So we're all on the same page. But people seem to be pushing this idea as though manhood is somehow inherently toxic. And we would say it's exactly the opposite. But why is that idea so widespread?
You know, it's the logic's insane, Eric. But even the American Psychological Association came out and basically broad-brushed that statement saying that men were toxic. Eric, it's not that men are toxic. It's not that masculinity is toxic. It's that there's toxic behavior. There are men who make bad decisions. Have men blown it? Have you ever been on the receiving end of somebody's anger, of their horrific stuff? You know, in the counseling world I live in, I see it every day. But Eric, that doesn't mean men or masculinity is toxic. We own our behavior. Masculinity, God created us uniquely. We go back to our earlier discussion about being protectors and providers, the walls, and so much more. Why they want to take it out again is the narrative. Because if you can neutralize men, if you can get them to shut down, if you can get them to, hey, what did Thoreau say? The mass of men live but quiet lives of desperation. If you can get them lost, if you can take them out of the fight, what did Edmund Burke say? All that's necessary for evil to triumph in the midst of this war that we're in is for good men and women to do what? Nothing. You neutralize them is what you do. And I'll tell you what is happening, Eric. When you get beat on so much, you don't want to go back there anymore. You shut down. And the horrible thing for men is we tend to what? Cocoon. We go into our caves. We hide. We don't engage. We just shut down. And then we get angry and frustrated. Eric, this is a call to bring men out of that, to bring them into a place, to get them beyond this cultural beatdown and put them square back into the middle of the fight and say, hey, wait a second. Do you know? Do you really understand how much you matter? I'm not just talking about the research. Do you know how much you matter to your kids? You know how much it matters when you love and are loved? I mean, do you get that? Do you understand how much you matter when it comes to the cause of Christ? It matters, Eric.
It's amazing to me that, you know, we're coming to a place where it is only like great churches that are pushing this message out there. The whole culture has become feminized and confused. I mean, it's obvious that people are just, I mean, most people understand that the culture is nuts. Like, you need to be encouraged, folks. If you think the culture is nuts, you know what? You are right. And I'm here to affirm you. They've all gone nuts. The only place where you seem to be able to find sanity is in certain churches. I mentioned to you, Tim, I was up in Ken Graves' church in Bangor, Maine. I was at Jack Hibbs' church in Chino Hills, California. There are a few pastors that are particularly manly, and I thought men just gravitate toward that because in their ideas, church is kind of like it's a woman's thing or something like that. I really think that this message that you have in your book, Take It Back, it just comes out of the Bible, and it's kind of like solving for X in an algebra equation, right? I mean, everything else goes away. We're in a culture now where you really can't find this anymore. We don't have a lot of healthy masculinity in the culture, in our movies and in TV. Either it is toxic masculinity portrayed or it is wimpy non-masculinity. But this healthy right. idea of biblical masculinity, which fathers bless their children and husbands bless their wives and live self-sacrificially and use their strength to protect those. I mean, it's so beautiful. I think more and more we're seeing that in churches. And I predict that we're going to see revival on this issue. When a culture becomes as sick as ours is on this issue, men are looking for truth. They know in their gut right and wrong on this. And I'm excited that you're talking about it. You're not the only one, but the book is Take It Back, Dr. Tim Clinton, forward by Daryl Strawberry. We've just got 60 seconds before the next segment. What should we say? I mean, can you just give us a few seconds on the idea that masculinity is simply not inherently toxic? I mean, that's just not true. But tell us about that.
Yeah, God uniquely created in the beginning male and female. Created he them uniquely. They're different. God made it that way. Eric, special giftings, special abilities. That doesn't make them not equal before God. They're equal before God. We know that. But hey, what is it about men? What are the gifts that a dad, for example, can bring and give to his kids? Those are the things we celebrate. Those are the things we centralize our heart and mind. We focus in on, and we want to give them as gifts to our kids. Eric, that's what this is all about. That's what we give to one another. And by the way, when you're in a war, we step up and into those moments. That's what we do.
Well, it's just so beautiful. I want to encourage people to get your book, Take It Back, Reclaiming Biblical Manhood for the Sake of Marriage, Family, and Culture. The reason we're in a crazy moment, folks, this is kind of the central issue. And I think it's kind of nice when you know what the real problem is. This is the real problem. If people will step up on this issue, you'll see a lot of other problems go away. We'll be right back with the author of Take It Back, Dr. Tim Clinton. Expectations. Everybody's watching you. Woo! Also, talk to my friend. friend, Dr. Kim Clinton. The book is Take It Back, Reclaiming Biblical Manhood for the Sake of Marriage, Family, and Culture. You have stories in this book about people like George Foreman. I love George Foreman. I want to get him on this program. I cannot. I just want to talk to that guy. Tell me about him, but maybe before you tell me about him, tell me what you just told me in the break about what about men who have blown it, who have messed up.
Yeah, Eric, one of the things that I see a lot and have conversations with men around is, Tim, I made some mistakes in my life. I haven't been a good dad. I've not handled my marriage all that well. I struggle in my relationship with God. I don't know what it means. I can do things. I want to, and they're given a little bit more what we would call as religion versus a relationship with God, because they, Tim, if God really knows me the way you say he knows me, there's no way you could love me, because they look inside and they see the brokenness. You know that? And Eric, here's the central message of the book, and that is that God is constantly reaching toward us. He desires us. His heart is there. And he wants us and he beckons us to come to him. Just like we want our kids to come to us when they're broken, when they're struggling, when they're lost, when they're confused. I want my kids running to my lap. And God can handle our emotion. He can handle the brokenness of our lives. He just simply wants us to come there, confess it, to bring the darkness into the light. There's a beautiful story that we really wrap the book around and the title around, and it's out of 1 Samuel 30. It's with David at Ziklag. And you know the story. He and his mighty warriors, his mighty men were what? They were away from the city, and they weren't protecting the village, the home, with their women and their children. And while they are gone, everything is decimated and taken. And when they come back, Eric, the scene, can you imagine? It's like a scene out of Braveheart or something. They come in, the smoke is just coming up out of the village. And as they get closer, they realize they don't hear the sound of the kids anymore. Nothing. And when they get there, it is gone. Wiped out. The enemy has taken it all. And the men are broken. You talk about men not weeping? No, they wept. I mean, and then they were filled with rage and anger, even toward David. And David did the only thing he knew what to do, and that was what? He got away by himself, and he inquired of the Lord. That's what it says in 1 Samuel 30. He inquired of the Lord. He cried out to God and said, God. And God spoke to him. And he said this, they're still alive. Hear me. I want you to go and pursue them. Take it all back. Go get it. Can you imagine, Eric, when he turns? I got chills on my body when he turns and he looks at his mighty warriors and he says this, they're alive. God told me they're alive. We still have a chance. And the horses begin to what? Stir and start to go crazy. And these guys grab their stuff. I would imagine a scene where it goes silent. Everything goes dead silent. It's like being on a football bus, going to a football game. You're not allowed to talk. Coach says, shut up. But the guys start tapping their feet. Everybody knows what's coming. It's time to go. It's go time. And Eric, they take off. And here's the word here for a moment. As long as God's given you breath, as long as you have an opportunity, take that moment. Can you imagine what would happen if men would step up and into this moment? You imagine, Eric, if one boy has his dad showing up at the game because he read Take It Back. If one woman would call me and say, Tim, you have no idea what's happened to my husband. I love him. I mean, you get it. You know, if the church could imagine an awakening of men. Promise Keepers happened recently. I mean, I was talking to Chad Henning and Ken Harrison about what's taking place in Dallas at the AT&T Stadium. He said, Tim, you have no idea. There's a surge. There's a stirring. I believe there's a stirring among young dads like I've never seen before. Eric, it's happening. There's something happening.
This is going to lead to revival in America. And I want to say to anybody listening, like if you say, well, my situation is hopeless. I'm just here to tell you, that's the voice of Satan, who despises your kids and your wife and you. that hopelessness is the voice of the devil. Do not choose not to hear that voice, because I really know that when God is in something, he'll be with you in it. And I just think that there are people all over this country who, you know, if anybody thinks all the things you were going down that, you know, men who have blown it, they haven't been the best father, they haven't been the best. That is me. OK, I don't know what people think out there of me or of you, Tim, whatever. But I mean, anybody who's honest knows I have totally blown it. And what can I do? Give up? I can cry out to God and say, Lord, help me to be exactly the father and the husband that you want me to be now. Show me what I need to do. Folks, if that's me and that's Tim, that's you, there's nothing more important than this. There's nothing more beautiful. And by the way, this is the battle of our time. In other words, what we were talking about earlier, all the stuff that's related to this, it's just, it's astonishing. You know, Tim, what you were talking about, promise keepers, I think something is happening in this country, and it is this is at the heart. This is at the heart of the father's heart. When you think about this country so messed up and confused, we know this is at the core. This is at the core. When you're talking about transgender athletes, you know, dudes who say they're women, wiping out women on the track, whatever. My question is, where are the fathers? If that was happening to my kid, I'd be all over that. The fathers need to step up. You know, that's just one example. But this is kind of the issue. So I'm so thrilled that Ken Harrison is rebooting Promise Keepers. I was so excited. We had him on the other week. But it is exciting. I mean, honestly, and I didn't know about your book until recently. But this, I think something is happening. People finally have gotten to that place.
Yeah, Eric, and I'm with you. And we're not trying to shove anything under the carpet. We want men to own their stuff. And more than that, we want them to see it, we want them to own it, we want them to change it. And then we echo the cry of Malachi 4:6, that prophetic verse that says, one day he will turn the hearts of the fathers toward their children and the hearts of the children back toward their fathers. God, help us. Let's go there.
Final segment coming up, talking to Dr. Tim Clinton. The book is Take It Back.
Serenade at her window, shoo, shoo, little bird, sing my song of love.
Like endless rain into a paper cup, they slither wildly as they slip away.
Hey there, folks. We're talking about masculinity, fatherhood, biblical manhood. I'm talking to my friend Dr. Tim Clinton. The book is Take It Back. You've got a lot of stories in here. What is in here about George Foreman? I just love George Foreman.
Well, you know, Foreman was the heavyweight champion of the world, then lost the title. Then in his late 40s, Eric, he makes a decision he's going to make a comeback, that he's going to take it back. And you know the story. He takes it back. It's one of the most stunning stories in sports history. And you love Foreman. You know that? It's just a beautiful, beautiful story. We open up with that because, again, a word of hope and encouragement. Eric, we've got to get beyond the shaming, the silencing, the stigmatizing of people. It's happening to men in particular in our culture. We've got to rise above this. We've got to push back. We've got to fight back like never before. Because, and let me share a little scene that I think encapsulates our entire discussion. Little Ligger standing in center field, waiting for the next ball to be hit his way. Sure enough, a line drive comes out to this little leaguer standing in center field. Eric, it's like he was dazed, didn't see the ball coming, misses the ball, finally gets the ball, throws it back in, and then he runs in after the inning's over. In the dugout, coach comes up to him and says, hey, bud, what happened out there? Red-faced, this little guy looks up at the coach and says this, coach, I was looking in the stands for my dad. He promised he'd be here. Promised me he'd be here. Young or old, male or female, we all look in the stands for our dad and consider his influence, his input in our life, one of the most important gifts that God can give to us. God help us as dads to be in the stands and to give that gift of love and grace and to model and emulate Christ. And God help us to step up and fight like we've never before for that to continue and perpetuate from generation to generation to generation. Why? Because it matters more now than ever.
There is nothing more important than this. And I just want to say to all the guys out there, Jesus is your answer. We don't have a lot of time, so I got to cut to the chase. A lot of people don't realize that, and they really have misunderstood, the Bible and faith and whatever. They've maybe got some messed up, feminized version of it. But when you read about the heroes of the Bible, I know they're in the book Take It Back, but I mean, these are manly men, and they're warriors, many of them. And I just think that kind of faith is... a lot of people have missed that. And when you bump into that, you know, Promise Keepers is a good example. I mentioned some pastors that you suddenly realize, yeah, this is what I'm looking for. This is, you know, my heart. And I, you know, and when you say, what about people who've blown it? I mean, honestly, that's the whole point of the Bible. God says, yes, you will blow it. You have blown it. Okay, now come to me and I'll work with you. And now you're going to see what you can do with me. And, your father could be dead. You could be, I mean, God always gives you a second chance. Don't get into, yeah, but. There's no yeah, but. God has a plan. I just want to speak hope because so many people have some reason they're clinging to. It can't work because of this or this. I'm just telling you, you have no idea. With God, all things are possible. That's not a cliche. That is true. We're talking about miraculous stuff. I've seen it in my life. Otherwise, I wouldn't be yapping about it. I know this is true. Tim, if people want to find you, obviously you're the author of the book Take It Back, but if people just want to find you, where can they find you online?
TimClinton.com, or they can learn more at TimClintonBooks.com, either one of them, and the American Association of Christian Counselors.
TimClinton.com, that's pretty easy. TimClinton.com, co-hosting Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. My friend Tim Clinton, thank you. Congratulations on the book, Take It Back. God bless you.